Welcome to Money Markets and Masterminds, a Citywise South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment, and strategic decision-making. If you're a fund selector or an independent financial advisor looking for insights, analysis, and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uyster. Currently, although no insurance products exist for family trustees, professional independent trustees may access insurance for trust services they provide. And with the recent changes in trust law in South Africa, it has become more important than ever for trustees to work together and manage their risks as a collective. And one trustee's non-compliance may expose their co-trustees to significant liability. I'm broadcasting from a storm-ridden Cape Town today, and I have trust expert Fia van Espay joining us from wine country, Franschhoek, to explain why boards of trustees should understand the risks they face in the trust environment and obtain the right advice to mitigate these risks. Fia is a chartered accountant with a master's degree in local and international tax, a registered fiduciary practitioner of South Africa, a chartered tax advisor, a trust and estate practitioner, and the founder of a company that offers a digital trust administration and accounting service called Trustees. She also holds a BCom honors degree in industrial psychology. Welcome, Fia.
Thanks for the invite, Ron.
Can you explain why trustees are often regarded as joint owners and controllers of trust assets, and what the key responsibilities of professional or independent trustees are in managing these trust assets?
Trust in South Africa are often misunderstood. People are trying to treat it like a legal entity, such as a company, and that's where a lot of things go wrong. That's why we often have to turn to court cases to see how the courts treat trusts and obviously what is expected of trustees. There are a number of court cases dealing with the fact that because a trust is not seen as a separate legal person, the trustees jointly own and, of course, then have to jointly control these assets. And that's why trustees can be held jointly liable for any wrongdoing in a trust. And that is where, you know, a lot of family members actually open themselves up to huge risk when they're actually working with co-trustees, including an independent trustee.
Why is it important for professional or independent trustees to have proper insurance in place? And how does the lack of insurance coverage for independent trustees impact clients and their families relying on their guidance?
Hopefully, when family members employ the services of independent trustee, it would be somebody who is acting in a certain profession who can guide them and help them as trustees. Because most often we have family trustees in South Africa, which is very unique compared to other countries in the world where, you know, a trust is very well established and it's basically only the professional trustee running the business of the trust. So unfortunately, fortunately, we have family members who can be trustees in South Africa, but most often they are not trust experts and really need the help of the independent trustee. Therefore, even when you look at the master's forms, you know, there are a couple of forms that the trustees, as a board of trustees, you know, complete individually. And there they have to tick whether they actually have the knowledge and understand the law of trusts. And they have to say yes or no. They have to say that they are aware of their fiduciary responsibilities as trustees. And when you actually look at the additional form that is required of the independent trustee to be signed, they actually there have to declare that they are qualified to act as a trustee, that they would actually inform the master of certain changes in capital income beneficiaries. And the most important one is that they are competent to scrutinize and check the conduct of the other appointed trustees who obviously lack a sufficient independent interest in the observance of substantive procedural requirements arising from the trust instrument. So you can see that's a mouthful. I could hardly, you know, pronounce it. But, and they would go on to say that they also declare that they are knowledgeable in the law of trusts. So even though a trustee is a trustee is a trustee in South Africa, clearly the sworn affidavit almost gives the independent trustee an additional bit of a responsibility, and they make it known to the master And obviously a court can clearly rely on that, that they know what they're doing and that they can guide the family trustees. And as you said in your intro, unfortunately in South Africa still today, insurers are not prepared to insure the family trustees, obviously very understandably so. Often when we look at the independent trustees, and I almost said, you know, the so-called independent trustees, the independent trustees, we expect that is somebody who knows what they're doing, especially when they actually declare to the master that they know what they're doing. And these people typically qualify to obtain a PI cover, or professional indemnity cover, that would actually cover them, you know, in the event of certain circumstances. So it is very important for this person, first of all, to be properly qualified to guide these family trustees, because they can really, you know, cause a lot of issues and, you know, place the entire trust assets at risk if they're not in a position to guide the family trustees, who are often not trust experts.
Via proving competency to the masters of the High Court aside, why might accountants, attorneys, or financial advisors acting as trustees be unaware that they have professional indemnity insurance that doesn't cover trustee services? And what steps should they take to ensure that, they have appropriate coverage in place?
The average accountant, attorney, or financial advisor normally have professional indemnity for the field that they are actually specializing in. And when they take on trusteeships, it's almost forgotten that, you know, there's an extra risk there, or like I have done in the past, you know, just assumed that you are covered as a professional under your PI cover. Very, very seldom people pick up the actual policy wording and read through it, because if they do so, you know, you would see that in certain policies, trusteeships are specifically excluded or in other instances silent about and therefore not covered. So it is critical for professionals to actually look at their current PI in place and check whether it covers trustee services or not. And if not, then go and get additional cover.
Fia, what does a professional indemnity, or PI as you refer to it, typically cover and protect independent trustees against? And while we are on the topic, how can professionals avoid double insuring themselves for the same risk? And what are some of the exclusions of such risk cover?
Yes, so I think this question is threefold. So first of all, the typical protection that they can get. Again, it will depend from insurer to insurer. And I think it's important for the trustee to figure out what kind of a role they would play, and then how broad they would actually want the cover. Obviously, the more cover you put in, the more expensive it's going to become. So one would obviously want to you know, have the trustees to probably cover that, you know, and form that part of the service that they provide. So typically you'll get, you know, the big headings, professional indemnity cover. Under there, they would actually cover defense costs and compensation, and it include actual and alleged negligence, or any omission, you know, which arises in the performance, obviously, of their duties as a trustee. And then you may have optional extensions, typically, such as investment advice and tax advice, again, depending on what services you provide. So it's very important to understand what you're sticking your neck out for and what you can be held liable for, and obviously then to make sure you have the cover. So that's the PI on the one side. The other side that, you know, almost goes along in these types of covers is the misappropriation of trust funds. Now, that's typically where a trust service provider who acts as an independent trustee handles the trust's assets, including cash in bank accounts and investments. And there, obviously, it would cover the principals or the partners or employees who obviously, you know, has login details and actually deal with the actual cash of the trust. And there, under the misappropriation of trust funds, you may have optional extensions such as, you know, unidentifiable employees, and they're including in computer crime as well. So it becomes really technical, Ron, when you actually decide, you know, what cover you actually, you know, may need depending on the risk that you are exposed to. And then it's really sitting with your advisor and figuring out what cover would be suitable for you. The second part of it is to avoid double insuring. Obviously, you know, for the financial advisors who are involved in the field would know as a general principle, one needs to be mindful that you are not insured with you know, two insurers for the same cover, because then you may, you know, end up with repudiation. So again, once you have started speaking to, you know, insurance providers, then make sure that it dovetails nicely with other existing cover that you may have, and to make sure that you are not doubling up on insurance. So again, the wording of the policy document becomes really important. And then, yeah, you get the exclusions from risk cover. Again, you would have to look at, you know, different policy wordings and see what is specifically excluded. In some instances, they exclude a specific cover that you may take out as optional covers that I've just discussed. So very important to actually have a look at the wording, but more importantly, to understand what risks, you know, you will be opening yourself up to in that particular trust, because all the trusts are different and they have different risks in the different trusts depending on what kind of assets the trust holds. So quite a complicated exercise to do there.
Fia, how should trustees handle third-party investment and tax advice they receive from someone else to ensure they are properly covered by their own policy? And what kind of risks are involved here?
Yes, I think that is the balancing act. The master does not expect all trustees to be experts in all fields. I think that would just be a complete impossible ask. So they are cognizant of the fact that all trustees, you know, can't be experts in all fields. That's why I'm saying, especially when you look at independent trustees, is to actually target a person who may help the family trustees with managing the risk in that particular trust. And then even that person may be a tax person or an investment person or an attorney. So again, that person would be unreasonable to expect of them to understand all kinds of risk and be an expert in all kinds of fields that the trust exposes himself to. So you would often see in the trust deeds that it allows the trustees to obtain the services of others. But I mean, it's quite understandable that the PI cover or the professional indemnity cover that the independent trustee would have would not extend to third parties outside of the trust providing advice to the trustees. Clearly, that would be excluded under that policy of the professional trustee or the independent trustee. And then the trustees, if anything, they would then have to make sure that they're dealing with reputable service providers and professionals, and then obviously have a look at what PI they have in, you know, in place for the services that they do provide to the trust.
Fia, what measures should trustees take to protect the assets within the trust against theft or misappropriation? And what kind of insurance cover should clients and their families request proof of from the independent trustees to safeguard themselves?
Yes, I think sometimes the process to get the services of an independent trustee is underestimated in terms of what the family trustees have to make sure they have. As you've earlier said, that you know, that is the only party who can get insurance, you know, on behalf of almost the board of trustees if things go wrong, and especially if they have sent the trustees in a certain direction to get advice, you know, from somewhere, or if they provide the advice themselves, such as tax advice or investment advice. So that the selection of your independent trustee is crucial as the first point. Then once you start discussions with a potential list of independent trustees, I would ask as a board of trustees for, you know, evidence of cover that they have. And, you know, if you know, it's been decided on a specific person, I would then, as a board of trustees, go on to say, right, make sure you have the following in place, given the risks that you'd be exposing yourselves to and the rest of the board of trustees. So it is a process. So it's to get the right person or the right jockey for the position, and then coming with a necessary professional indemnity that they must have in their capacities as independent trustees.
Well, that leads me to my last question, Fia. Why is it important to have a formal written policy and other measures in place for dealing with trust funds?
Always when I speak about trust, I say paperwork is everything. And I think it equally applies to, you know, having proper protection and cover in place. Obviously, you know, you would want as a board of trustees to manage the trust's risks best you can. You should not, you know, as a default rely on don't worry if things go wrong, you know, we've got PI in place, because all the trustees are acting in a fiduciary capacity. That is a legal onerous obligation to actually look after the affairs of another. So it is actually quite a high ask. So people should be super careful when they actually deal with trust assets in their capacities as trustees. And if they don't do that, there are a couple of court cases where trustees have been held personally liable. So you're opening yourself up to huge risk. And I think if they're over-reliance on the independent trustee's cover, because he's the only one who can get cover as a trustee, you know, then you would obviously be quite foolish if you just don't act, you know, correctly, you know, in the first instance. So proper procedures, proper checks and balances, have proper trustees who are willing to participate, because I can be, you know, opened up to risk because of the wrongdoing of my co-trustee, especially given these new grey listing measures. You know, the board of trustees will be held liable for those 10 million rand fines. So it is very important that we, you know, keep one another accountable as trustees and not blindly rely on the fact that there may be a professional indemnity in place, because it may exclude certain things, obviously, you know, if you acted outside of the law, such as with these new grey listing measures, you're not going to have cover. So I think it's very important for trustees to understand what they are covered for and what obviously they're not covered for.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. And thank you, Fia, for joining us on the show. And the message is clear. The appointment of independent trustees should be carefully considered, as often professional indemnity cover excludes claims as a result of dishonest, criminal or malicious acts or omissions committed by or on behalf of such or other trustees. To all our Citywire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money, Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Yuester, and my producer, Daniel Camargo. If you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and under the podcasts and video section on the Citywire South Africa website as well. So please go register as a user to enjoy our wealth of multimedia content. And with that, until next time, goodbye.